Hello, my name is Ken Fallon, and welcome to this episode of TWAT. Today we'll be covering free applications for the Windows platform. I'm doing the show because people have asked for more Windows content. But don't be waiting around for someone to create the content for you, put a show together, send it into Droops. If you don't think you know enough to put a show together yourself, convince a mate to do one with you. Even if you're a computer novice, there's bound to be something that you've discovered that can be turned into a 5-minute show. While this is all about Windows 32 programs, I advise the Linux users to stick around, as there's some goodies in here for you as well. All the programs in this episode are linked to on the URL http://iunplug.nl/windows. That's iunplug.nl/windows. All the programs are free as in beer, meaning there's zero cost. Most of them are open source, meaning they're free as in speech. The first set of programs we'll cover are general applications that all Windows users should be using. Naturally, we're talking Firefox for web browsing, Thunderbird for email, OpenOffice for text editing, spreadsheets, etc., etc. All of these are open source, and I think everyone is familiar with them already. One advantage of installing these programs for somebody is that they also run under Linux. This means when you do get around to migrating people to Linux, it becomes very comfortable for the end user. My wife was able to switch to Linux, and all I had to tell her was that the Ubuntu menu was on the top of the screen rather than on the bottom. This being Windows, we've got to install a slew of protection against the internet nasties that prey on that OS. Of course, you're going to need a virus scanner, and I'm recommending the AVG from GRISoft.com. To quote from the website, AVG Free Edition is for private, non-commercial, single home use only. Clam AV is also an excellent product, but in the Windows version there is no on-axis scanning, which I consider to be an essential requirement for any Windows virus scanner. Another tool I use quite often is the poorly named SpamPal program, but then I guess spam assessment had already been taken. What you do is you point your email client to SpamPal, and rather than your email client going to the internet to get your mail, SpamPal does that for you. It checks each email against a freely usable DNS blacklist to see if it's spam or not. If the message is spam, then you can add a tag to the message header, for example, bad spam mail. Then you set up a rule in your email client to treat any mail marked with that header as spam. You can either delete it or put it in a spam folder for a period of time to let you review. I also use an excellent plugin for this called HTML Modify, which removes bad content from HTML, images that call home, etc., etc. I personally convert all HTML to text, and if ever I need to see the HTML, I simply save the file as text, rename it to HTML, and open it in my browser. This plugin also has virus scanning built in, but AVG does a far better job at identifying viruses. Now for a trio of anti-spyware tools. Microsoft Spyware is free, and it's good. You also need to confirm that you're running a legitimate copy of Windows, but we've spoken about that already. It's zero cost during the beta testing phase, and who knows what happens after that. In the same vein is Spybot Search and Destroy, which is also zero cost. It's no harm to have two different spyware checkers running on your PC. Then we have Spyware Blaster, which attempts to immunize your PC against different forms of attack. It's zero cost for personal and educational use. The GIMP is well known for image editing, but I personally don't use it that much, but hey, you never know, I might see the light someday. For CD ripping, I recommend CDEX and DVD shrink for DVD backup. CDEX supports CDDB, which means you don't need to type in song titles, it automatically gets them from the CDDB database on the internet. You can choose the format, a lossless format or a compressed format that you want to encode. DVD shrink is an excellent tool for backing up your DVDs. Most DVDs, DVD movies are 8 GB, while the common blank DVDs are about 4 GB. DVD shrink allows you to make a movie fit onto the smaller discs through a variety of tricks. First, you can remove everything but the main movie. that also has a side effect that you don't have to see warning ads about copyrights and 15 intros and trailers and all the rest of this good stuff. Usually, by simply doing that, the movie will fit on the disc. If not, you can remove extra camera angles, you can remove the Dolby soundtrack, take out the additional languages, subtitles, all that sort of stuff. You can even go as far as removing the start and end credits. If all that doesn't get your movie down to 4 gig, you can automatically re-encode it to fit on the smaller disc. For a music player, you simply can't beat Winamp. For video playing, I can't recommend VideoLand Client, or VLC as it's known, highly enough. It will play more or less anything you throw at it. Moving on to Instant Messenger clients. I can recommend Game and Miranda IM. Both have the ability to connect to multiple IM networks simultaneously. This means you can be chatting with friends on AOL, Yahoo, MSN or IRC all at the same time, without getting any of the annoying ads. I find Game cleaner, but I still use Miranda IM as I set it up all night for me. I recommend you download some of these programs and carry them around with you, because if everyone used them, the internet would be a better place. I can guarantee that at the next family gathering, you can spend more time drinking beer than you will fixing PCs. Now I'm going to move on to some more advanced programs for the geeks out there and the Windows admins, or for the Linux guys who have to use Windows because, hey, that's company policy. All except one are open source, so let's get that one out of the way. It's XP Virtual CD. It's from Microsoft, and it's ugly. But it allows you to mount an ISO as a network drive, or a drive letter, which can be very handy sometimes. For FTP, we have FileZilla, but only use it for anonymous internet sites. That's because FTP sends its password around in clear text. For transfer to and from your own servers, always use Secure Copy. And WinSCP is an excellent client for Windows. To get to your Linux terminals, never use Telnet, again for the same reason, passwords go around in clear text. You'll want to be using PuTTY to get your SSH session going. It also allows port forwarding and session saving. If you don't believe me about the clear password thing, just install Etherreel, which is a packet sniffer, and you can see what's going on. Now, what if you're a Linux guy caught in a Windows world? Well, there are a load of Linux tools available out there for the PC, and there's three options I can think of. The first is to install the Unix pack, that's UNX Utils package, which gives you native Windows versions of Unix tools, things like ls, grep, sed, sort, word count, etc. You can pipe the commands together from a command prompt. I work in a mixed environment, and the amount of times I've typed ls in a DOS box only to see ls is not a recognized command. For this alone, you should install it. For a complete bash shell, you can use Cygwin. That's Cygwin. The programs are in here are running through a Linux API emulation there, so they're not going to be as fast as the Unix utils, but they are truer to the real thing. One nice feature I use quite a bit is the SSH daemon, which can run as a Windows service. It allows you to secure shell into your Windows box. This I use in combination with TypeVNC to provide a secure way to access my Windows box. TypeVNC is an application that you can use to remotely control another PC, be it Windows, Linux, Mac, from another box. I set it up so that it only listens to localhost and will only respond to people coming in on the localhost IP address. Now, if you want a full-blown box in a box, try QEMU. This allows you to install a full-blown operating system from within Windows. This could be Linux, Windows, Solaris, whatever. To secure your privacy online, we have the excellent GNU Privacy Guard, aimed at encrypting and digital signing. Another program I use to encrypt files is TrueCrypt. I use it on Windows and Linux to encrypt my password files and my SSH keys. It's very easy to use and mounts your encrypted file or disk as a new drive letter. Well, that's the end of this episode, and as I said before, all the programs are linked to the website iunplug.nl/windows. Shouts out to Ben for hosting the site. Shout out to Droops for putting TwatTech together. Shouts out to the lugradio.org guys for not knowing how to pronounce it. Shouts to my wife for putting up with me. And shouts to all the people who wrote all this excellent stuff. That's it. That's twat.